Well, Father, we just thank you and praise you that you brought us all here today. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And that's a free gift for anyone who wants it, Lord. Father, I pray for Reverend Sam today as he gives your word. He's got a beautiful testimony how the Lord changed his life. And the Bible says, Lord, that you're no respecter of persons, so what you did for him, you'll do for the rest of us. And how nice it is that each one of us has our own personal testimony as to how you've changed us, that we are a new creation, that we're not the old self we used to be. And God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise for that. And so, Father, we ask you to just come among us to speak through Reverend Sam. We ask you to bless the food that we'll be receiving, and thank you for all the clothes that are out there, Lord, given, all free in the name of Jesus. So quiet our hearts, Lord, that we would have them open and ready to receive a word from you. And Father, we thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, this is Reverend Sam. So nice and quiet, kind of way. It's going to be about a half an hour or so. He's going to give a nice message and then he'll dismiss you. So just remain seated.
Praise the Lord. I thank and praise God for being here today. I give an honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I give an honor and praise to Pastor Judy and Pastor Steve this morning. I thank you for Jesus Said Ministries and for each and every one of you that's here. We thank and praise everybody for in the food distribution, those the volunteers in that area, the volunteers in the clothing, and those that are teach Bible study here. It's all a blessing that people take their individual time and come out and serve. And we should all pray for them and pray that God upholds their family. And we thank and praise God this morning. And we thank God for Pastor Alan Bevere and First Lady Bevere of this fine church that has opened the doors for all of us to be here. I know Pastor Steve was talking about there was a little discrepancy this morning, and we asked and we pray for all of y'all, and please don't fight inside the building, because you make it bad for everybody. And if we get kicked out of here, where are we going to go then? There's not very many churches that will allow us to come in and pass out food and clothing and stuff, you know, and that, because... And this is one of the things that I love about Jesus Said Ministries. You know, I get to stand up here and I can say what God has given me to say. And sometimes I talk about some really serious political issues, because this country's in pretty bad shape politically. And I don't have to get ugly looks from Pastor Steve and Pastor Judy, because it looked like I done ruined the offering. Because some in certain churches, when you're preaching, if you come forth with a message that is not a happy message and all of that, and just like Evangelist Cloyd, a lot of times he preaches that salvation message. And, you know, a lot of churches won't preach about hell. And they won't preach about things that are that does not inspire people and lift them up where you're telling them that everything is all right, everything is great. And this is the kind of message that they want to go forth in a lot of places, because they want to be able to pass the plate and people be in a very happy mood and give money. And sometimes when you preach messages that are depressing, then people they don't give. But we thank and praise God we don't have that situation here. And today I would like to minister on... And I'm not going to be before you very long, but I want to minister on the children of Israel and Moses and them being in the wilderness for 40 years. And, you know, and I have some foundational scriptures, which is Matthew 13:13, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, and Hebrews 11:6. And, that's going to be where I'm going today. And I ask y'all all to pray with me. Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for another glorious day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this ministry this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each and every one of us that's here. We ask, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, that you bless each and every household that's represented here today. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you continue to lead and guide and strengthen each and every one. In Jesus' name, dear Heavenly Father, as this word comes forth, let Reverend Sam sit down and let your Holy Spirit stand up in me. Anoint these lips of clay. Heavenly Father, forgive me for anything that's not like you. Let this word come forth, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, according to your divine will. And we'll give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, when we look at Moses, he was one of the greatest. He was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. And God had blessed him in many areas of his life where he was a high priest, and his parents were Levites. So he came out of the Levite tribe. And that means that he was definitely a priest. And so when you look at Moses, God had really done some great things with him throughout those years, not only leading up to the 40 years in the wilderness, but even before that, when, you know, Pharaoh had decided that they were going to kill all the babies in Egypt. And his mother put him in the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter got him out and raised him in the household of Pharaoh, and he was raised under their roof with all of the divine things that they had going on, all of the education and all the wealth and all the knowledge that he was able to obtain. But the Bible said he still refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. And, you know, he eventually decided that he was going to go back and be with his people. And he didn't understand exactly at that time what God was doing, but God was leading and guiding him to be a deliverer and to deliver his people out of bondage and out of Egypt. And at that time, God had given him a great anointing. And when you look at the anointing that he had in his life, he was very equipped for the job, but he didn't have faith that he would do it. And God showed him the burning bush, had him put his hand inside his garment, pull it out, show him that it was leprosy, and put it back in, and the leprosy went away. God had to show him a lot of miracles in order for him to be comfortable with this assignment. You know, many of us here today have assignments from God, and some of us know it and some of us don't. Some of us don't know it because we're not spending time in prayer. Some of us know it, but we just haven't moved forward in it. And this is the same way Moses was. Even though he was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, he wasn't ready to move forward. And I remember when Evangelist Chloe first came and got me out the house to start ministering, I wasn't ready to move forward. I had went in the house, closed the door. I was going through some church hurt, you know how you be in churches and then people act a certain way and you be like, wow, you know, I don't think I want to continue to participate in this. And I would go to my home church, but I wasn't visiting nowhere anymore or nothing. And so that's a lot of times that's what many of us get into. But we have to shake that off and we have to continue to proceed in what God has called each and every one of us to do, because each and every one of us have a purpose. Amen. And we have to pray and allow God to fulfill that purpose in our lives. I remember when I was working in the factory, I had to spend some time asking God. Many of the people there, you know, we had a lot of worldly music playing real loud, and a lot of people came to work with hangovers and, you know, and had been participating in that lifestyle, and would show up to work late, some of them, but would show up. And I would pray and ask God what to say, you know, because we're all, if we're saved and we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have an obligation to witness to people. And so when you get to the point where you have to pray and ask God what to say, And that's one of the things that we have to really get into. And this is what Moses had to do. He had to start praying and asking God to lead and guide him. And in this situation, I want to backtrack for a minute, and I want to take you through some of my foundational scriptures, because we're looking at the children of Israel, and we're also looking at Moses. And even though Moses was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, he did a lot of stumbling and mistakes and falling, like all of us in the human family. We are not perfect. And in Matthew 13:13, and God wants us to know that, but he says in Matthew 13:13, it says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." In other words, we're going to make mistakes. And we may go through a few times where we fall and stumble and all the circumstances that we go through in life. But we got to have a made-up mind that we're going to endure to the end. And that's where we're going to have to be. And we're going to have to stand in what we believe in. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, that he take heed lest he fall." Now, many of people, and you see them, and you look and you say, you know, that was a preacher. And you see them out somewhere, and they done went to another direction, and look like they done fell off the wagon completely, and they're not serving God and that. And many times what happens is we get in a position where we think, everything is all right, and I got it. I can hold on. And you get in self. And when you get there, the Bible says, don't take heed lest you fall. And there's been many people that have failed because of that. Because you have to stay connected. You have to stay in prayer. You have to stay reading your word. You have to stay fasting, turning your plate down. You have to stay in a position where you're constantly seeking God. You're staying connected to God. Because anytime you get to the point where you think you high and mighty and you all that, Satan has a challenge for you. And more than likely, he's going to knock you off your little pedestal you done put yourself on. Because God didn't call for none of us to be on a pedestal, only Jesus Christ. And unless we come to that realization, we're going to have problems. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, I've heard many people talk about it's impossible to please God without faith, but this second part of this verse, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, God wants us to serve him. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to receive his son Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But he also wants to bless us. He not only wants to bless us with eternal life and salvation, but he wants to bless us in this world, on this side of glory. And most of us sometimes don't realize that God is in the blessing business from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And God is never going out of business. I don't care who goes out of business, God ain't going out. And if we get that mindset, we'll understand that God is in the blessing business. And this is one of the things that the children of Israel stumbled at. And I'm not going to be before you long. I'm going to wrap this up. I got a whole lot of notes, all that fell on the floor and everything. But nevertheless, God gave me a whole lot. But I'm not going to stand up here and minister all that today. But the children of Israel, as they were in the wilderness for those 40 years, they kept mumbling and grumbling against God. And as they mumbled and grumbled against God, and as they kept having a position and a state of mind where they didn't feel that God was able to carry them through their circumstances, even now God has delivered them from bondage and from Pharaoh and from the hand of the Egyptians, and has spared their lives in these tough situations. And yet, when they get out here in the wilderness, Moses is being blessed to come forth with the miracles. Here they see the Red Sea part, and they go across the Red Sea on dry land, and the sea closed up and killed all Pharaoh and his armies. And they see God deliver them with this great and mighty hand. But yet, in the midst of that delivery, they decide, when they get across that Red Sea, they decide that God can't fulfill what he's promised them, that he's going to take them to the promised land. They kept having doubt. Now, you see here in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So they kept mumbling and grumbling against God. And Moses was steady being used by God. Man, that God gave him manna from heaven to feed them in the book of Exodus, the 16th chapter, verse 35. He gave them manna from heaven for 40 years in the wilderness. And the Bible says there that their clothes didn't get old for 40 years. And think about that. You got a pair of clothes and shoes and stuff. You're walking around in the wilderness for 40 years, and God has a blessing on you to the point that your shoes and your clothes don't wear out. And God has a blessing on you that he's giving you manna from heaven. The only day that the manna don't come down is on the Sabbath day, but he gives you enough the day before to carry you through the Sabbath day. God is blessing them at a level that they can't possibly miss this, but they're still saying they don't trust God and that they don't believe God can get them to the promised land through this 40 days in the wilderness. And, you know, because of that, the Bible lets us know in the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers, the 30th verse and verse 33, all of the children of Israel that was 20 years old and older when they left Egypt, because of their mumbling and grumbling and because of their distrust for God and failing to believe God, died in the wilderness. There was only two that were older than 20 years old when they left Egypt that God allowed to enter the promised land. And that was Caleb and Joshua. And when you look at that and look at our own personal lives, and I take myself for an example, I've went through quite a few wilderness experiences. And what I mean by that is self-inflicted experiences where I've allowed myself to go through circumstances that I should have never been in the first place. And being detached from God and being holding on to the world and saying the world has more to offer me than God. And I paid some very high prices for that. And one thing Satan wants to do, he wants to steal time from you because you're never going to get time back. If he can waste all your time in your life until you get older, like me and evangelists have, and now you realize, yes, God is in the blessing business. God is who he say he is. God can do what he say he can do. You know, and I wish I would have understood that many years ago. And I have a lot of things that God has done in my life, and evangelists tell me all the time. He said, you know, you got a lot of testimonies that people wouldn't believe. You know, but God has spared my life many times in overdoses and being shot and gave me a brand new liver and delivered me in so many areas of my life. When I really decided to get serious and get close to God. You know, I hear a lot of people and even my family members tell me, say, it don't take all that. Yes, it does. It does take every bit of that. You know, you hear the saying, people say, holier than thou. Ain't no such thing. That's a saying from the pits of hell. That's Satan saying that. Ain't no human being on this face gonna be holier than thou, than God. That ain't gonna happen. That's just Satan trying to aggravate you when you're trying to get your life together and get your relationship together with God. That's Satan trying to say, hey, you don't need to do that. That ain't necessary. Yes, it is. And in the times that's coming in this country, and I've been studying a lot of that going on, and they got a book out, the Babylon Code, and it tells a whole lot about all of the companies and officials worldwide that are working toward bringing the world, one world government into effect. We have many political figures in the United States of America that's working very hard to see that this comes about. And, you know, and it's going to affect each and every one of us, and it's going to affect everyone in this country. But the thing we have to do is straighten up and get our relationship with God like it should be. You know, when Israel went into captivity and some of its leadership was right there with them, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all of them. But God blessed them, even in bondage, and even when their country was carried off into slavery, God blessed the people that had a relationship with him, that was close to him. And that's what each and every one of us have to look at. We have to make a decision, and I'm going to wrap this up. But and Moses, when Moses was leading them and guiding them through the wilderness, and he continued to make mistakes. And at the in the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter, verse 9 and 11, you know, the children of Israel needed water, and they was complaining because they were out there and they didn't have any water, and they were saying to Moses, did God bring us this far to allow us to die? Now, here they go into the disbelief state again, and they were not pleasing God, and they were actually saying God can't do what he say he can do. And so then Moses took his eyes off of God and his attention off of God, and his attention was focused on these people, and he didn't do what God had told him to do. He hit the rock with the stick instead of speaking to it. So now he gets all the way through the promised land. He's out there leading them for 40 years in the promised land. And when he gets a situation where he's taking his mind off God, and these 40 years that he's out here suffering with them and going through these circumstances, and God's working all these miracles and that, he makes this mistake. And what happens is when he gets to the promised land, God allows him to go up on Mount Nemo and see the promised land. And God tells him, because of that, you cannot go to the promised land. So when you look at that in many of our lives, we are going to be able to be blessed and may receive salvation in the hereafter, but we lose our opportunity to be blessed on this side of glory. That's what happened to Moses. And this is the one thing that I want y'all to pick up out of this message, if you don't pick up anything else. Sometimes you can get to the point where people will draw your attention away from God and cause you to be in a circumstances that will cause you to lose your blessing on this side of glory. Even though you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and things are going in the right direction as far as eternity, but you have missed the opportunity to be blessed here on earth. And this is what happened to Moses, because in the New Testament, you know that he received salvation because he was at Mount Transfiguration with Christ and Elijah in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. So you know that he received his eternal reward, but he lost his opportunity to go to the promised land here after laboring 40 years in the wilderness with stiff-necked, hard-headed people, and he lost what God had for him. And many times, that's what a lot of us are doing in our lives. Once we take our eyes off Christ and we're concentrating on other things or people or circumstances or situations. And I'm a good testimony to that. I have a lot of testimonies in that. And I believe that's why God has given me this message to y'all, for everyone today, including myself, to remind me to stay focused. And we all, each and every one of us, should stay focused. And with that, I'm going to close, and I thank and praise God for each and every one that's here today, and you're dismissed. Thank you.